It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin passed out to those who gathered together on Sunday mornings to worship at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And the title in this article, which was also that of the sermon that morning, is Stand Fast. Paul had two main reasons to write his second letter to the Thessalonians. He wanted to remind them of the second coming of our Lord and clear up some misconceptions some had of this event. But beyond that, he wanted to encourage them to remain steadfast amid the persecutions they were facing. Notice how Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 2, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren." Paul then told them about the Lord's coming on vengeance on those who were troubling them, and that he would not come until there was a falling away first, and how the man of sin would be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through chapter 2, verse 12. Then, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he begins again, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." This is where Paul turns his admonishing encouragement and continues to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul writes, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ," 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. From the beginning, God had chosen them to hear the call to glory. They had responded to that call in faith, and through the sanctification of the Spirit, they were saved. It is the Spirit that set them apart by giving them the gospel truth to believe and obey. Thus, it may be properly said that their salvation was a gift of the Holy Spirit. I suggest that this can help us understand the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 and 39. Every person saved is saved by the gospel, and the gospel was given by the Holy Spirit. Thus, every salvation is a gift of the Spirit. Then Paul gives his first two admonitions. "Wherefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle," 2 Thessalonians 2:15. In their hardships, Paul had sent Timothy to encourage them that no man should be moved by these afflictions, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, and had told them, "Now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord," 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. So Paul is encouraging them to keep standing as they had been standing. The traditions they were to hold included the ordinance that had been handed down to them from the Holy Spirit through the apostles' teaching. Paul would later write to the saints in Corinth, "I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you," 1 Corinthians 11:2. In Corinth, these ordinances and traditions included such things as their behavior in their assemblies, their taking of the Lord's Supper, and their assembling on the first day of the week. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:17, "For this cause have I sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul taught the same ways, traditions, and ordinances in every church, and they established a pattern of work and worship and order for those churches. Those practices made the church distinctive in the Roman religious world. Paul said he was confident that they would do the things he commanded, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4. We can infer what these traditions were from the account in Acts and from the epistles, and we can do the same. Paul requested their prayers for him and those with him as he preached the gospel in Corinth. Finally, Brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Again, Paul reminded them of the everlasting consolation and good hope, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, and of their patient waiting for Christ, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This confidence in the love and faithfulness of God and their hope for the coming of Christ would comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work, 2 Thessalonians 2:17, and establish you and keep you from evil, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. No doubt this letter fortified and encouraged the saints in Thessalonica, as it continues to fortify and encourage us. Their hope is our hope, brethren, beloved. Therefore, stand fast. Well, that was the bulletin article that Sunday, and that was the gist of the sermon that was preached. We read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's return to our normal class subject. And we're talking about the history of the early church and the things we can learn from them through the book of Acts, being guided in these studies by the notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of 1925. And we've come to the time when Paul was at Athens. And let me read to you Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Paul said, "The times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked. But now he commandeth all men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Paul said, "The times of this ignorance, therefore, God overlooked." He did not excuse it, although he blessed heathen nations, as he does today, with all temporal blessings. They had lost the knowledge of God when they knew him. They honored him not as God. And we read that the wrath of God was revealed. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. He gave the Jews his laws, and let the Gentiles go their ways up to this time. The Gentiles at any time could become worshippers of the true God, and many did, whenever they would. But now, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God would again appeal to all nations to become his true worshippers, and commands that men should everywhere repent. This call to repentance shows that God does not excuse idolatry. One's ignorance may prove a mitigating circumstance, as in Paul's case, 1 Timothy 1:13, but it does not excuse or justify one in sin. Jesus died and rose again, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, Luke 24:46. The reason Paul gives that all men should repent is that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Rising Jesus from the dead is the crowning evidence that he is the Son of God and the Savior of men, and that God will raise all the dead, also that God has appointed a day of judgment, in which all the unrighteous will be condemned, is a powerful motive to repentance. Jesus himself kept this prominently before his hearers, And the preacher who does not now fails to present one of the gospel motives to repentance. Well, what was the effect of Paul's speech there in Athens? We read about that in Acts chapter 17, verses 32 through 34. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear thee concerning this yet again." Thus Paul went out from among them. But certain men clave unto him and believed, among whom also was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Paul was not permitted to finish his discourse, was interrupted at the most vital point. At the resurrection some mocked. Others said, "We'll hear thee concerning this yet again." Many of them had so habituated themselves to hear and to tell some new thing without receiving the truth into the heart that they probably could not believe earnestly. This is true now. Paul seems to have recognized their condition and went out from among them. However, Paul's efforts were not fruitless. Some clave to him and believed, Dionysius the Areopagite being one of them. Areopagite means one of the court of the Areopagus. Damaris was likely a woman of note in Athens. It is worthy of note that these worldly, wide-educated men and philosophers did not receive the truth. For behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Not many that think themselves too wise are able to humble themselves and become Christians. Now with that we turn the page, and we're going to read about Paul in Corinth in our next lesson. The text we're going to read is Acts chapter 18, 1 through 17. After these things he departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a man of Pontus by race, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them, and because he was of the same trade, he abode with them, and they wrought, for by their trade they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Acts 18:5. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he took out his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed thence and went into the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And the Lord said unto Paul in a vision by night, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to harm thee, for I have much people in this city." And he dwelt there a year and 6 months, teaching the word among them. Acts 17:12. But when Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Galileo said to the Jews, "If indeed it were a matter of wrong or of wicked villainy, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if there are questions about words or names of your own law, look ye to it yourselves. I am not minded to be judge of these matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. And they lay hold on Sosthenes, a ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of these things. Well, we're going to take this up in our next class.